Welcome, dumbheads, to this week's megasode of MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. Monday through Saturday, I drop one micro-podcast per day identifying the dumbest thing on every single goddamn page of Ninjas and Super Spies, the ridiculous RPG from Palladium Books. On Sundays, I combine all the previous week's episodes in one megasode, like this one. If you want to follow along at home, we are reading Revised Ninjas and Super Spies, 7th printing, from the year 2000. Today we're discussing page 43 of Ninjas and Super Spies. I'm feeling a little bit better. I'm drinking some coffee. I'm eating a muffin. Special thanks to Lorelei from Good Looks, Bad Books, a fun podcast also about bad books. Lorelei's from New Zealand, and due to some controversy about the proper way to eat Weet-Bix on my other podcast, the Gameable podcast, she suggested Weet-Bix muffins. I made some. I made some banana chocolate chip muffins. They're delicious. So I've had some sleep. I've had a coffee. I've had a muffin. My SDC is restored. Let's get back into it with this book. We're just seeing the end of the military skills here on page 43. And then we're on to the physical skills. Now, I'm excited about this because physical skills are some of the most distinctive things in the Palladium system. In most games, you've got your attributes, which you randomly roll or you point by, and those are the core defining things about your character. Sort of like their genetics, almost. Who they are, fundamentally. Then you've got skills, which really represent, like, education and training and occupational role and all that stuff. Now and again, the Palladium system... I'm sorry, back check. The Palladium hastily collated list of notions. Sometimes it does have a good idea. And one of those good ideas is that physical skills should feed back into your physical attributes and increase them. Because if you are a person who is only moderately strong, and then you get skill in, for example, boxing or wrestling, it's going to make you stronger. It's not just going to make you better at boxing or wrestling. So great. Physical skills can improve your attributes. Naturally, this is a min-maxer's dream when we're talking about a game that is so focused on combat as Ninjas and Super Spies. So one of the things you can do if you plan to mainly be fighting and not doing much else in your game is you can take a lot of physical skills intended to shore up all your physical attributes. The bonuses far outstrip the utility of the actual skill. Like, some of the stuff you get with gymnastics is nice to be able to do. Like, great, I can backflip. I can balance. I can climb a rope. Much more important are the bonuses to your attributes that are going to make you hit harder. They're going to make you hit more accurately. They're going to make you tougher in combat. There are some you would be a fool not to get if you could because they're so good. They're so good for combat and other purposes. So there are certain skills that you would think would be like a small subset of player characters would have them, but really the player character of any smart player will have them. A good example of that would be the acrobatic skill. For a martial artist, the acrobatic skill is the absolute tits, and I say that advisedly. You get a big, long, needlessly detailed list of things that acrobatics allows you to do. You get a 60% plus 5% chance per level of balancing. You get a 60% plus 5% per level chance to walk on a tightrope or high wire. Why is balancing and walking a tightrope two different skills with the same chance of success? I don't really know. You get an 80 plus 2% chance per level to climb rope, a 40 plus 4% chance per level to climb, or it adds 15% to your climb skill. You get a 65% chance to backflip. You get a bonus to strength. You get a very valuable plus 1d4 to physical prowess, which is going to allow you to hit more accurately in hand-to-hand combat. You're fearless of heights, presumably unless something grotesquely atrocious happens to you and you get a phobia. And you can leap 4 feet high and 5 feet long, plus 2 feet per level of experience. So after, 8 months of playing this game, you should probably be level 5 or so. At which point, if you've taken acrobatics, as everyone does, you can leap 14 feet straight up in the air. I would be extremely willing to give you a pass on chi powers that allow you to leap 14 feet straight up in the goddamn air in a game about ninjas and super spies. It's cool with me if you're a badass, like, wire fu martial artist, and you can do this. But in fact, if you were simply ran away to the circus when you were a child because you had a screwed up childhood, because you rolled on the screwed up childhood table at the beginning of the book, you're gonna end up with a party full of people who all know acrobatics for whatever reason. Some of them learned it in college. Some of them took it as their elective in military school. Some of them were actually in a circus. And all of them, if there's a van hurtling toward the player characters down the street, all four or five of these people are just going to leap up into the sky like beautiful angels and just look at each other up there 20, 30 feet in the air, maybe depending on what level they are, and think, boy, I'm sure glad we didn't take any science or humanities classes. I'm sure glad that we focused on acrobatics, you guys, because, you know, I love you all. And I didn't want any of us to get hit by that van. And now that we are advanced masters of acrobatics, there's nowhere we can't go together. You know, if the whole party wants to go up on top of a three-story building, no problem. They know how to walk a tight wire. They know how to backflip. And they know how to just crouch down and then hop right up on top of that building. We've got some other less interesting physical skills like athletics, bodybuilding, boxing, which is the one you gotta take. Boxing only takes one skill selection, but it's so worth it. I cannot express to you the throbbing majesty of the author's boner for boxing, or as he puts it, the classic art of fighting with fists. You get the ability to automatically knock people out on a natural 20 when you roll to hit them, which is something that's extremely useful because combat takes for fucking ever in this game. And if you have a way to incapacitate mooks rather than slowly whittling down their ungodly heaps of SDC, that's super useful. But normally you have to call that shot. So like to knock someone out, normally you have to call that you're trying to, then roll. And only if you get the natural 20 you called, do you knock them out. Boxing, the skill, fixes that. You also get an additional attack per melee, which amounts to an additional turn each round. It's incredibly good. You get a bonus to parry and dodge, you get a bonus to roll with punches, you get a bonus to your strength, and you get plus 3d6 to your SDC. It is no coincidence that boxers were specifically brought up to justify the ridiculous SDC rules back when they were described early in the book. The author had the gleaming chest of a boxer firmly in mind when he was writing about how it doesn't matter how much you get shot, because if you're manly enough and you've trained hard enough, then you can take those bullets and just keep coming and then sleep it off. I feel that perhaps the boxer was not the only one who just kept coming, as that scenario was lovingly envisioned. It occurs to me, incidentally, that I keep saying the author, and I want to clarify, I'm not talking about anyone in particular. So much of this book is copied and pasted that I don't really have a sense of who wrote what. So I'm not sure exactly who I'm saying is hot for manly boxers here. Although, let's be honest, it's obviously everyone who ever designed for, or indeed played, a Palladium RPG. If you do not on some level fetishize and admire beefy tough guys, you're not going to find what you're looking for in the line of Palladium RPGs. The fact that a soldier of moderate experience in this game who learned acrobatics during basic military training can jump 20 feet straight up in the air is the dumbest thing on this page. Today we're discussing page 44 of Ninjas and Super Spies, and it may come as a relief to some listeners to know that today we're not going to do a rundown of all the different skills on the page, because I think that there's one that really epitomizes just how inept this skill system is, and that skill is swimming. I quote, "The rudimentary skill of keeping afloat, dives, life-saving, and swimming techniques. You've got a 50% plus 8% per level of experience chance to swim successfully. It's a skill you don't start out at great, but you do get better at swimming very quickly as you advance in experience. The percentile number indicates the overall quality of form as skill of execution," said the author in a flurry of seemingly random prepositions. "You get a special bonus of plus one to parry and dodge while in the water, which means that if you're a trained swimmer and you're going to be dodging bullets, you want to try to be waiting, if at all possible, while you do so, because being hip deep in water actually helps. However, you're not going to be in that gunfight long if you're a really good swimmer. And I'll tell you why. If you take swimming advanced, then you gain competitive swimming techniques, snorkeling, life-saving techniques, again, even though the previous skill already gave you that, and scuba. Scuba is important, not so much so that you can actually use breathing apparatus, but because the scuba skill gives you the ability to swim a distance equal to 10 times your physical strength in yards/meters per melee, even though, as they just indicated, swimming speed depends on strength, not speed, so that it doesn't actually do anything. But anyway, forget all that. You don't need that extra speed, because 10 times your strength in yards/meters per melee for a person with average strength works out to 25 miles an hour. A very strong person, like strength 24, somebody who either rolled really well or took some of these physical skills we've been on about, could definitely get up to 40 miles an hour. In fact, the lowest physical strength you can have in the game, barring some kind of catastrophic injury, is physical strength of 3. Even with that strength, you can swim faster than the real-life world record for swim speed for the 400 meter. Now, I know exactly what happened here. They tried to set swim speed at about half of running speed. They forgot that they measured running speed in minutes, not melees, which are only like 15 seconds long. and they ended up accidentally setting their speed ridiculously high. So this is just a straight up accident. It reminds me a little of there used to be a thing called Murphy's Rules. You can still look them up and find them. Some of them are a lot of fun, where it's just like weird things that result from the rules of role-playing games. But some of them are not really playing fair, because it's like you're extrapolating from the rules of a game into the physics of the world, of the fictional world, and that's not really what the rules are meant for, right? This is not that. This is very concrete. This is, if you're in a scuba suit, and you're doing spy stuff in your scuba suit, which is a very James Bond thing to do. It's the sort of thing that's going to happen eventually in your Ninjas and Super Spies campaign, right? Like, in what world are you going to play a James Bond-style spy campaign and not, at some point, get in some scuba gear and go have a harpoon gunfight? It'll happen every time. It's like the Elven Village in a fantasy game. This is a very concrete tactical rule for how fast you can swim. And this simple mistake has been reprinted over the course of decades in over 5 game lines, and not been corrected, which really reveals how Palladium role-playing games work. That's why I picked this as the dumbest thing on this page today, because, you know, Ninjas and Super Spies, much like the Bible, is a book that, to live with it, you kind of have to give up on just straight up doing what it says. Surprise theological hot take in the middle of my role-playing game podcast. And that's why this has never been fixed. It's because anyone who plays Ninjas and Super Spies long enough to get to a scene where they're having a scuba harpoon fight knows that you can't just open the book and use the rules. If you tried to do that, you would quit. So probably anyone who cares enough about Ninjas and Super Spies to ever notice that this rule is wrong knows better than to try to use the rules in the book. And that's probably why it's never been addressed. So I don't know if it's stupider that a scuba diver can swim 40 miles an hour, or that this is due to a simple wording error that Palladium did not bother to notice or fix after 11 years in print, but one way or another, swimming is the dumbest thing on this page. Today we're discussing page 45 of Ninjas and Super Spies. We missed all the pilot skills. They were on the previous page and I was caught up talking about swimming, so we've missed those. However, we do get the pilot-related skills here on page 45. And I'm going to read you some excerpts and see if you can detect a problem. The navigation skill. This gives you the ability to read maps, use star charts, etc., etc. The base skill is 60% plus 5% per level of experience. A failed roll means the pilot is off course. Roll 2d6 times 100 miles / kilometers off mark for aircraft, 4d6 times 100 for Veritech fighters, and 1d6 times 100 for land vehicles. Orbital and interplanetary navigation in a game with no spacecraft. Once you learn it, you can establish an exact course to any point in the solar system. The weapon system skill. This is the complete understanding of weapon units and systems incorporated in vehicles. It includes the Destroids, a vast variety of weapons, lasers, particle beams, autocannons, missile launchers, and so on. What you may have noticed is that there are a number of references here to space travel, Veritech fighters, and Destroids, none of which are things that are in this game. And if you have yourself taken the Weeaboo skill package, gentle listener, then you'll know that these are Robotech references. Palladium had the Robotech license for their role-playing games, and therefore released Robotech rulebooks, and then, and I'm literally shaking my head, and then literally just copied and pasted material from their Robotech game, their anime mecha game, straight up into Ninjas and Super Spies, without bothering to copy edit it, even to the degree that they took out trademark terms from other people's intellectual property. This entire skill category, basically, was cut and pasted from a totally different game, from a totally different genre, without even combing through to make sure they weren't going to get into legal trouble for just using these licensed terms. It's a shocking degree of lax copy editing. It's like if the diplomacy skill in 3rd edition D&D were cut and pasted from the D20 WWE RPG. And it had little blurbs in it about how, like, your bard can use diplomacy to argue with Stephanie McMahon. In a game that is nothing but amateur hour after amateur hour, this is high noon. This page has some other goofy skills on it. It's got the science skills, the math skills, a number of technical skills, including art and writing and RPG design. Also begging, which is extremely hard, can't be learned without formal training. And says it's useful as a disguise, but offers no disguise applications, says it's useful for making money, and offers no rules for how to make money with it. But all of these, as ill-executed as they are skills that exist in the world of this game, unlike the ability to operate a fucking Destroid, whatever that is. So I am definitely awarding the cut-and-pasted pilot-related skills from Robotech the dumbest thing on this page. Today we're discussing page 46 of Ninjas and Super Spies, and praise Ninja Jesus, it's the last page of skill descriptions. We're picking up with the temple philosophies and skills category. We already talked a little about begging last time. This page includes the fasting skill. Quote, the ability to go for long periods of time without food. So long as the character has sufficient water, 2 weeks without food will be pretty easy. After that, the character will have to roll under the base skill to avoid becoming weakened or sick. The base skill is 54% plus 4% per level of experience. So this skill teaches us an awful lot that we didn't know about fasting and indeed about starving. First of all, the trick is to fast smarter, not harder. This is a skill you can learn. And if you're going to not eat, you have to not eat correctly to avoid the unfortunate consequences, the stumbling blocks of the amateur. And don't think you can get away with just winging it. This is not an improv situation. Fasting is not available as a secondary skill. So not eating isn't the sort of thing you can just do on the side. You have to commit to it. You need real kung fu training to get into fasting. The good news is that once you have gotten that training, then your physical fitness lays no bar to your success in the lucrative field of not eating food. You can have a physical endurance of 3. You can have 4 hit points. You can be so weak that you have the inability to swim for a full minute without becoming exhausted. But nonetheless, you will still have, at first level, that 58% chance of suffering no ill effects from failing to consume food. This is the Breatharian skill. Because noticeably, while you do have a chance for success prescribed by this skill, there's no time frame involved. We saw back in the espionage skills, the concealment skill, for example, is very strict with that TSA-style limit on, the linear dimensions of an object you can hide on your person. No such restrictions here. Very loosey-goosey in regard to, do you ever have to eat food? how often do you have to make this roll? And it's not like you die, you just become weak if you fail. Which, this skill advances pretty quickly and it starts pretty high. In fact, if you have a high IQ, then you'll be able to have an even higher skill percentage than this. So if you went to a really good school for fasting, or if you're very smart, then you can go longer without eating. But let's say you're a character toward the end of, a typical campaign. Again, we always go to 9th or 10th level. It's been a couple years. You're a very experienced character. Not yet topping out the experience scale, but just like a player on the international scene. A top spy. Or a top ninja, as the case may be. You're going to have a 94% rating in this skill by that time. Even if you do not have the exceptional intelligence to fast smarter than other people. We don't know how often you have to roll for fasting. We know you don't have to do it at all until 2 weeks have passed. But then at that point, is it every day? Is it every week? We don't know. But let's say that you have to roll every day after those 2 weeks pass. You only have a 6% chance of failure. And failing only makes you weak or sick. So you're probably going to have to fail 2 or 3 times before you're facing real serious consequences. If you work out the math on that, you'll see that you should probably be able to go, 8 weeks or so without food before you're facing any serious repercussions, which is actually conveniently realistic because in real life, 8 weeks is about the amount of time you can go without eating before you drop dead. I learned this figure from the Wikipedia page on starvation, which I don't recommend that you visit if your plan for the day is to continue enjoying your muffin and making dumb jokes about ninjas. After the temple skills, we go on to a bewildering array of weapon proficiencies to close out the skill section, but they've got nothing to hold a candle to fasting. For presenting fasting as a learned skill, an exclusive skill, a skill that requires formal training, one based on IQ, not physical fitness or endurance, that, when mastered, allows you to become sick and die from lack of food just the same as a regular person, I award the fasting skill the dumbest thing on this final page of the skill section. Today we're discussing page 47 of Ninjas and Super Spies. We finally finished with the skills section, and now we're on to occupational character classes. These are the classes of the game. They're grouped into categories, and we're starting off with the sort of defining class of this game, and one of the worst. First of all, we start off strong with a heading that says, List of 16 OCCs. that then proceeds to list 17 OCCs. And if we consult that list, we'll see that the first one is the dedicated martial artist. We can also tell this by the illustration on this page, which is of a man in a gi. He is either in a martial arts stance or doing the pony. There is no motion here, of course. It's still capture, so there's no way to tell for sure. This gentleman has been rendered in an unmistakably Asian fashion, by which I mean that his eyebrows have a thicker line width than his eyes. But while it's all Captain Marvel from the eyebrows down, it's all Namor from the eyebrows up, because he has a square head, a little widow's peak, and exceedingly pointy ears. This is, and I say this in a spirit that transcends all matters of race or ethnicity, a goofy-looking motherfucker. And these goofy ears are appropriate, because the dedicated martial artist is basically the goober class. Here's the thing. There are exclusive martial arts forms in this game. These are martial arts forms that take so much of your attention, so much of your life, that you basically can't fit anything else into it. And those martial arts are available only to the dedicated martial artist. Lots of characters in Ninjas and Super Spies have these like weird twisted life histories. Like, we talked about this in Skills, you know, the character who's like worked in the circus for a while, and oh, he also like plays professional football. Oh, and by the way, he's also like a chemist. Oh, and by the way, he's also really good at dancing. Oh, and by the way, he speaks four languages. Oh, and also he's been through military training. And this class basically is the opposite of that. It gets no skill programs. It gets very few secondary skills, no skill bonus to the skills it does have. And in exchange, it can just take one demanding martial art. Alternately, if you don't want to take one of the very demanding forms, you can take two martial arts forms. So, to quote from the book, this is the only character in the game who has two complete martial arts forms. This is also the character with the most sheltered existence. With the exception of trips between schools, the character has seen almost nothing of the real world. Dedicated martial artists start out with the bare minimum of skills simply because they haven't had time to learn anything else. So this makes a certain degree of sense for your, like, secluded Shaolin master, right? Only Shaolin Kung Fu is not actually an exclusive martial art form. So what are some exclusive martial arts forms that you would have to live a totally sheltered existence and basically become this man-baby with no skills, this pointy-eared goober who knows nothing about humanity or the world, who is focused purely on his combat skills? What sort of martial art would you pick up? Well, here's a partial list. Horang Do, a style often taught to communist secret agents. Ninjutsu and Tiansu, which are two styles that both produce students primarily to work in international criminal organizations. Thai kickboxing and sumo, which are major sports. With all the fame and bureaucracy and potential corruption that one would find in a major sport. Wu Wing Chun, a style that is taught in Chinatowns, including the ones in Hong Kong and San Francisco. Because if there's one place you could be raised beyond the clutches of technology and consumerism, it's the San Francisco Chinatown. And also Wushu, which is the state martial arts style of China, which it teaches to its espionage agents. So if you play a dedicated martial artist, not only are you playing a total rube, like that's your thing, is that you don't know anything except how to fight. But almost certainly, if you use the class's only really good ability and take one of these cool martial arts, you're going to be surrounded in that martial art by people who just despise you. People, like, imagine being the only ninja in the ninja clan who doesn't know how to work a cell phone. Imagine being a Thai kickboxer who has never seen a girl. Imagine being a sumo wrestler who doesn't know how to drive a car and has never seen television. And worse yet, if you take one of the martial arts styles that's associated with an espionage or criminal organization, you're going to be surrounded by secret agents and jet-setting criminals who probably are not going to appreciate the fact that their coworker has like two skills and they're folk dancing and noodle making. If you actually use your one good ability to get a cool martial art, to finally get to play a ninja, you are going to be the Dwight Schrute of the martial arts underworld. And that is the dumbest thing on this page. Today we're discussing page 48 of Ninjas and Super Spies. There's a big old illustration at the top of this page of two guys in gis engaging in what appears to be a dramatic reenactment of the classic video game Kung Fu Master. But the art is not really what's interesting on this page. What's interesting is that this page offers us our second martial arts occupational character class. Yesterday we talked about the goober character class, aka the dedicated martial artist. aka Bruce Lee, only twice as tough and has never touched a boob. And on this page, we have the worldly martial artist. This is obviously the cool guy martial artist character class. Let me just give you what the author has to say about it, because I think the author was quite enamored of this form of martial artist. Worldly martial artists are the kind who snuck out when they were supposed to be meditating, not being willing to devote themselves completely to the martial arts monk-style existence. They'd occasionally hitch a ride to the nearest urban area. For the worldly character, it was fun to find out about rock and roll, flirt with the opposite sex, ride around on a motorcycle, and enjoy social life in general. Because they've been exposed to the real world, they receive a few extra skills. First of all, notice that flirt with the opposite sex. Apparently, the worldly martial artist is not worldly enough to be gay. But, you know, baby steps. There's two mentions of motorcycles in the description of this character class. No mentions of leather jackets, although I think it is clearly implied. And notice at the end that because this character snuck away from the monastery sometimes on weekends, they get, quote, a few extra skills, which you would think would mean, like, knows things about Elvis, or knows how to drive a stick shift. But no, in fact, the character gets the basic military skill program, two basic skill programs, and one additional skill program from military, espionage, gizmeteer, or basic categories. This is a vast skill versatility that seems to me to greatly overestimate how much you can learn by goofing off on a weekend. So when this game says a few extra skills, it means like chemical weapon construction, deep cover spy training. And that's on top of having gone through boot camp for some reason and being, for example, a trained journalist, biologist, and astrophysicist. This game has a highly romantic idea of what will happen to your life if you run away from school during summer break and ride motorcycles with girls. Apparently, it involves joining the army, going to university, and working for the CIA. Instead of spending 6 years to get a worthless degree and developing a lifelong sexual fascination with cigarette smoke, which has been my experience of what happens if you blow off a lot of schoolwork to hang out with girls more. Anyway, this character also gets bonus martial arts powers, bonus physical skills, in addition to this great diversity of useful skills miles away from the Goober occupational character class. This worldly martial artist is definitely the coolest guy in this book and the dumbest thing on this page. Because while he may or may not have charmed those ladies he was giving rides on his motorcycle, he definitely charmed the authors into giving him a panoply of skills he has no business having. This has been Mega Dumbcast. It is Mega Dumbcast on Twitter, Instagram, Gmail, Podbean, your favorite podcatcher, etc., etc. New episodes drop every day, except for Sundays, when all the previous week's episodes drop in one big chunk for your binging convenience. MDC, Palladium Books, Ninjas and Super Spies, and all associated trademarks are property of Kevin Ciambietta. This slightly annoying theme song is Cartoon Battle by Kevin MacLeod, whose work you can find at incompetech.com. The gong sound effect was recorded by Daniel Simon. Dumbheads, I will catch you next time.